Podcast, Ellie Elevates Your National Parks. This is a podcast about the different national parks and monuments. Each episode, I will feature a National Park Service site and tell you some background information and share insights, tips, and suggestions. I will also interview someone different every episode and hear about their experience from the featured park. Now, let's elevate your knowledge about this episode's site, Zion National Park. National Park in southwest Utah today. Zion is the third most visited national park with more than 4.5 million visitors in 2017, which is 5% more than 2016. So many people have had the chance to admire the geology, and it sure is fascinating. I love feeling so small when I'm there. The canyon walls can just tower over you, and you'll feel so overwhelmed. The park is 147,000 acres big and has elevations ranging from 3,600 feet to 8,700 feet. That's over a mile in elevation difference. The most noteworthy natural feature of the park is Zion Canyon itself. The canyon was eroded by the Virgin River and has made sedimentary rock. The canyon is 15 miles long, and most people get to look up the towering canyon walls. For as long as 8,000 years, people have been living in the Zion area. Native Americans like the ancestral Puebloans, Vermont, and the Paiute tribes have all called Zion home. Mormons settled there in the 1860s, and by 1909, President William Taft designated it as a national monument to protect the beautiful landscape. He named it Mukatuweap National Monument. Mukatuweap means straight canyon in Paiute. The Mormons had been calling it Zion. Zion is a hill in Jerusalem, and in 1918, the director of the National Park Service thought the name was too Native Americans and would deter visitors, so he officially renamed it, hoping that more tourists would visit. On November 9th, 1919, Congress turned it into a national park. I have been there three times, and each time it was so different. I don't remember my first time because I was only 2 years old. My parents told me that I did some short hiking, but nothing too impressive or noteworthy. The second time we visited, we did the Narrows hike. The Narrows is a really popular hike, and it actually kept us away from Zion for a couple of years. We didn't love it because of all the people that were doing it too. You start by taking a shuttle, then hiking a short distance until you enter a slot canyon. The Virgin River runs through it, and you get to actually hike in the water. The first time we did it, there were too many stupid people throwing garbage in the river, smoking, leaving food scraps behind, and playing loud music. It was not for us. A few years later, we went back, and we got a very early start, and it was so much more enjoyable. The water is very cold, and the rocks on the bottom of the river were very slippery, but it was totally worth it. The river gets pretty deep at some points. In fact, a few times I had to take off my pack and hold it over my head as I crossed the deep section. I usually wear my swimsuit, and it is so much fun to hike in a swimsuit. I love how the sunshine makes its way down the narrow slot canyon. I highly recommend you try the hike, but be aware of the weather. And if there's rain, the river rises quickly, and you won't be able to escape alive. Another really popular hike is Angel's Landing. I really want to do that next time I visit. I've heard that from the top you can see Zion Canyon and the views are supposed to be amazing. However, it can be very dangerous. 5 people had died by falling off the edge. In fact, a 13-year-old girl died last February by falling. Family. My parents went to college with Mr. and Ms. Pulowski, and they are my first international guest. They are currently living in Italy. Welcome to Ellie Elevates Your National Parks. Would you tell me a little bit about yourselves?
Sure. Like you said, we are friends of your mom and dad, and we met a long, long, long time ago, very far from here. And we are living in Italy. We just got here, and we're just a bit of a vacation with friends. We're in western Italy right now, but we're going to be traveling to eastern Italy near Venice in a town called Padova. and living there for 4 months.
And Dave is a professor, and so that's why we're here, and then I'm a teacher back home in Michigan also. Hi, Ellie.
Hi. How would you describe Zion National Park?
Zion is one of our favorite places in the whole world, at least the places that we've been. It's a mecca for, like, outdoor activity and getting into nature and getting into, like, the backcountry. And it's one of the most beautiful places that I've ever been.
Yeah, I'd have to say that it's awe-inspiring. I mean, it's just fantastic, and there's nowhere else like it.
What have you done when you visited Zion National Park?
So we really like to go to Zion to do some canyoneering, which is basically when you hike to the top of a canyon and then you descend back down to the river via the canyon. And a lot of the time that can include just doing some hiking or like scrambling over rocks, but also you can do canyoneering, which involves rappelling and some more technical stuff. So we kind of like to balance those trips with scrambling over rocks and doing some rappelling and just kind of getting into adventures.
The boys really love to swim. We have two boys. Ben is in fourth grade and Ethan's in first grade, and we've taken them there twice. And one of their favorite things to do there is swim, as long as it's not too cold. So they really like to do the narrows when we've been there.
What was your favorite thing that you saw there?
I mean, there's so many really, really cool things. I think for me, we took the boys on a canyoneering trip that got to be a little bit more difficult than I thought it would. It was a little bit extra cold that day. The water was pretty chilly, and we made a mistake during that trip, and we ended up adding a couple of miles to the canyoneering trip, which added several different rappels. And it was really difficult for the boys because the water was cold, it was dark, and it was a little bit scary. But when we got through to the end of that trip, the boys, we got out, they were getting warm, and they kind of looked back on it and thought it was pretty wild and pretty adventurous. And I think at the end of the trip, they were like really glad that they did it, even though if they were a little bit scared. So I think that we saw really beautiful canyons, some really beautiful pools of water. But for me, it was seeing kind of like the boys doing something that they didn't think that they would be able to get through.
I guess mine has to do with water, more or less. When we've gone there, we've gone to the rocks and we've seen the water seeping out of the rocks. And Dave was telling me about how the water comes through the rocks and it's, what, 2,000 feet worth of mountain, basically, and it'll drip out of the bottom down toward where we're at and make these springs. And that water is like 2,000 years old. It hasn't been out in the air in that long. It's kind of crazy. And then we've also seen some rain, like flash flood type rain. When we've been safe, it's been really cool to see how that works, how the storms roll in and then the water will like cascade down the rocks and then it'll clear up. So it's pretty awesome.
We were in a flash flood at Arches.
Oh, were you? Were you safe?
Yes. Well.
It can be pretty scary to see a flash flood, but as long as you know you're safe and you can get to high ground pretty easily.
Yeah.
We saw a river start. We saw the start of like a river, which became like a river during the flood. And at the time, we had a dog who was pretty young, and he thought that was really cool. So he was kind of like chasing the front edge, the leading edge of the river that was starting to form. So we have good memories of that, even though we were a little bit concerned about where we were at the time. But we were safe.
What would or wouldn't you do if you visited again?
I don't think I've done a hike I wouldn't do again there.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything that you can go wrong with. There's so much to see. And, you know, even the trails, the main part of the canyon is really popular. So many, many, many people from around the world travel to Zion to see the really beautiful hikes and the beautiful canyons. And for good reason, because it's all so gorgeous. But I think it's the most interesting when you get a little bit off of the beaten path. And you don't have to go far, but it's not hard to get away from some of the big, huge crowds of people. I don't think there's anything we wouldn't do, but usually what we try to do is find ways to get away from some of the crowds.
And I think the biggest would be then to plan your trip ahead of time and do some research and find out where you want to go, because you can get passes for different hikes only on certain days. They'll open up a few months ahead of time. So you've got to make sure that you have an idea of what you want to do to be able to get away from the people and get away from the crowds. So I'm planning. That's what I would do.
What plants and animals did you see there?
Oh, man. We pulled out a book. You saw mice?
Yeah.
Ben says we saw lots of mice.
When we camped overnight one night, there were mice hanging out in the narrows with us.
Oh, yeah. Lots of mice underneath our tent. That was no fun.
Ew.
We've seen wild turkeys. We've seen deer.
Vultures. Lots of ground squirrels.
Lizards.
Lots of lizards.
We're not so good with plants, but one of my favorite trips there was a long time ago when we were there in October and the trees were all changing. And if you hike in different parts of the park, you'll see different plants in a lot of different areas. But just seeing the trees change that year was really cool.
Yeah, that's true. Zion is in the middle of a desert, a high desert, but Zion is Zion for a reason. And so it's this little microclimate as you get down, and especially in the Virgin River bed, and you can see, you know, fall colors in the middle of a desert, which is really cool for us Midwesterners, where we kind of like the fall colors.
Did you see any stupid people?
Any stupid people?
Mm-hmm.
We have done a couple stupid things. Not like hurting the park, but my first trip to Zion, we hiked a canyon called Mystery Canyon, and we took off like at daybreak that day, and it involved going up a trail and then descending down the canyon, and our friend didn't bring a water bottle.
He forgot his water bottle, yeah.
And so we were trying to figure out how to get hydrated, and we had to share water. And then we also were coming down the canyon at the sunset, and we caught the very last bus from the top, from the Temple of Sinawava.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we would have done if we had missed that last bus. But we had no water, and we...
Yeah, that was really bad planning. But it worked out. It was a long trip, but it worked out. So we were the kind of the stupid people on that trip. There are so many people there that, you know, I think the park rangers do a really good job of educating people to be respectful to the area, to the rocks, to the water sources. But there's always going to be people that are kind of pushing the boundaries of, you know, of respecting the area, not climbing where they're not supposed to, and that sort of thing. But, you know, for as many people as go there, I think generally they do a pretty good job.
Is there anything else you'd like to share about the park?
Everybody should go there.
We've always been really, that even during high season when there are a lot of people there, that it all runs really well. So I would say, you know, don't wait for the perfect time, just go. You can't always bring your car into the park, but the tram system, the buses, they run really, really well. And really frequently, and they do a good job moving people in and out. And even if you can't get away from the high traffic areas, it's definitely worth it.
You're living in Italy for a semester. Does Italy have national parks like the United States?
Oh, we went to some on one. We were highly disappointed.
They're not quite as spectacular, but it kind of depends on the area that you're in. So Italy has, in the north, it's bounded by the Alps, which are really tall, imposing, impressive mountains. So it's really pretty up there. And there are parks where you can go hiking and backpacking. And then even in the far south, it's a very different climate. Much like the United States has a very different climate. So there are parks, but they're not as famous as the United States national parks. They're more famous to local people. And the way that the parks run is different, too. For example, if you go backpacking in the Dolomites, the Dolomites are a famous part of the mountains, you can't camp. What happens is you backpack during the day, and then there will be like small huts, or kind of like not even huts, like actual small hotels just kind of in the park that you stay at, and there's food and you can get a drink and a shower, but you're not allowed to camp in your tent because they really take protecting the environment super seriously out here. So it's different in some ways, it's the same in some ways, but maybe not quite as famous as the United States.
How are you planning on exploring Italy's natural areas?
We don't have any plans yet. We just kind of came here and we're going to wing it. But we're definitely going to go to the Dolomites. I think we're also definitely going to go snowboarding in the Alps, in the Italian Alps, probably in the next month or so. Other than that, we don't have any solid plans.
We want to find out. We're going to do some research and talk to people and see what some of the coolest places to go are. And hopefully we can update you. Or if you know of any, let us know.
I don't know of any, but thank you so much for being on the show, Pulowski family, and enjoy your time in Italy. The suggested time frame to visit is 5 to 7 days, and the best months to visit are April, May, September, and October. The coldest it gets during the summer in Zion is 50 to 60 during the day. Zion is more than just slot canyon and amazing hikes. It also protects archaeological sites. Canyon is continually changing, and it is a climbing paradise. It has one of the largest freestanding arches in the world. If you visit, be prepared to feel really small at the bottom of the canyon walls. Thank you to the awesome Pulowski family for sharing your experiences. If you'd like to learn more about their semester in Italy, you can follow their blog at pulowskisinitaly@blogspot.com. If you're enjoying my podcast, please leave a review or rating on iTunes to help other people find the show. If you have any questions about a national park, please write to me at ellie@untanglingknots.com, and I may answer your question on a future show. Thank you to my producer, Zach, and my script assistant, Molly. And thank you to Proddington Bear for providing my theme music under an attribution, non-commercial, Creative Commons license.